Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
We celebrate the fourth Sunday of this Lent, and we are closer and closer every day, every week, to the celebrations of the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the second week of something that we call scrutiny. It means the immediate preparation for people who will receive the sacraments on this year's Easter vigil. We pray for them, especially we pray for people from our parish, from here, from High Springs, and from Brantford, that this year, here in our church, they will receive the sacrament of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. We also pray today for our seminarians from our diocese. Five of them, they will receive the ordination to diaconate this Saturday in Boca Raton. We pray for them that they can be holy priests in the future. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. He smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like it." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" He replied, "The man Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there, washed, and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. He is of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as Christ, he would be expelled. For this reason, the parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard they had thrown him out, he found him and said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, We see, so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
James did a good job telling you on what page to find the readings. I know that last night's Mass, you know, when the first reader came up, I could see people with their missalette and turning the page and looking over to their neighbors and saying, What page are you on? Father told you basically why we're changing these readings. We are getting closer and closer to that great celebration of Easter. And for these three past Sundays, and the next one to come, the third, fourth, and fifth Sunday of Lent, the church allows us to substitute these three readings from John's Gospel in place of the usual readings, which would be from Luke. We can always make that substitution, but we are especially encouraged to do so if we have someone in our community here who is going to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. And that is because the message contained in the three readings, last Sunday, the woman at the well, today, the man born blind, and then next Sunday, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, are so intimately linked to those sacraments of initiation, we call them baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, that the church feels those coming into the church need to hear that message, and for the rest of us, we need to be reminded of that message. The message for today, as always, is really a very simple one. When God created man, his intention was for us to live in the light. The light of his grace, the light of his truth. But our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they chose to step out of the light, the fullness of the light, and go down a dark path that was leading to, well, they didn't exactly know where it would lead, but they went there anyway. Now, why would they do that? Why would they leave the
fullness of the life of grace with God to come down the dark path. The answer is simple. They were lied to. They were told the lie that something better can be found, but it required that they disobeyed God. You remember the words of the serpent in the book of Genesis? He says to them essentially, God knows that the moment that you eat the fruit of this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God yourself. Well, that sure sounded good. That sure sounded appealing. And so they disobeyed. They disobeyed. And Genesis goes on and tells us, then their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, all right, but not at all in the way they had bargained for. But it was too late. Too late. Once they could see, now they were blind. And because of their choice on that fateful day, a blindness, a kind of blindness, enters the human race. A blindness that we call original sin. It's not a physical blindness. It's something much, much worse. See, where once Adam and Eve were only knew light and love, now they also knew darkness and fear. But God in his mercy would not let this situation continue. He sets in place a plan to restore mankind to the fullness of grace, to a fullness of sharing our life with God. And that fullness of light enters the world in the person of Jesus Christ, who says, in the gospel, I am the light of the world. But because of the sin that our first parents made on that fateful day, just like the people we encounter in today's gospel, we are continually at a crossroads in this journey that we call life. At every moment, we must choose anew, either for or against Christ. Now we must constantly choose between darkness and light. We meet several kinds of people in this gospel. Who do you most identify with? Is it the man born blind? Is it the Pharisees who refuse to see what is right before their eyes? Maybe it's the parents of the man born blind who, out of fear, remain somewhere in the shadows. You see, the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus very clearly tells them, neither. This man shared in the blindness that we all have before our baptism, this blindness of original sin. So Jesus brings the minds and thoughts of those listening to him now back to the Garden of Eden, where original sin first came into the world. To restore the sight of the blind man, what happens? Jesus spits on the ground and makes clay with the saliva and smears it into the man's eyes. That's a little strange, you think. Why would you do something like that? I've told you before, I think you have to know. When you encounter something strange or unusual in the New Testament that doesn't make any sense immediately, where do you go to look for the answers? Yeah. Huh? In the Old Testament. Don't be afraid to speak up. And that is sort of where we find the answer for this. It's not exactly in the Old Testament, but it is in the apocryphal writings of the Jews from those days. You see, they had a tradition. They believed that when God created Adam, the first man, out of the dust, that he had to spit into the dust to perform, to do that act of creation. Why? Because dust doesn't hold together very well. You need some moisture, some liquid in there, so you can turn that dust into clay and form the first man, Adam. So the Jews believed, those hearing Jesus knew this well. They knew the tradition that when God made Adam, he did so from God's own spit and clay. Even we read about it in the Dead Sea Scrolls today. See, now you know why Jesus did what seemed to be such a strange thing. Jesus is repeating what God did in the book of Genesis when he created Adam. In the act of restoring the sight of the blind man, he also reveals to everyone the statement, he reveals his divinity. I too am God, that I can do this. Did that lead to everybody who witnessed this great miracle praising God, saying, glory, thank you, Lord? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it separated believers from unbelievers. Some people came up with crazy kind of excuses. They said, oh, the man is just a lookalike. It wasn't the same man. Pharisees, true to form, they try to discredit the miracles using their own silly legal arguments. The parents of the man born blind, they stay in the shadows out of fear because they knew the authorities would expel them from the community. But the man that Jesus cured, he is not so faint of heart. His statement of faith is so simple that it is profound. He says, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. And he acknowledges Jesus as his Lord and worships him. So back to my original question. Of this various groups of people, who do you most identify? The man born blind? Pharisees? Parents of the man born blind? Maybe a little bit of all three at different times in our life? You see, that same serpent who deceived Adam and Eve continues to deceive us today. We are often handed empty promises. We are often lied to by people who claim to know. And just like the fruit of the forbidden tree, it's made to sound oh so good and oh so appealing and oh so you know, interestingly, a couple of weeks ago in RCIA, we had a discussion, and I posed the question, what would you do if you knew that to practice your faith properly on some occasion would mean that you would immediately lose your job? There was a lot of silence in the room, but I think I don't need to tell you that such an occurrence is not a remote possibility in this day and age of ours. Let me share with you an example. It was just this past Wednesday that I went to see the new movie, Unplanned. Heard the movie, Unplanned? Right? If you have not seen it yet, I strongly encourage you to do so. It's the true story of Abby Johnson, who was a former director of a Planned Parenthood facility in Texas. She was the director of the facility. And I'm sure you know Planned Parenthood is the leading provider in this country of abortions. For 8 years, she counseled women who came to that facility seeking an abortion. She would tell them how safe the procedure was, assuring them that the baby wasn't a baby at all. It was just a fetus. It was just a lump of biological matter, and that everything would be fine. And it was all a lie, and she knew. She knew. Then one day, everything changed. One of the nurses came into her office and said that they needed some help in the examination room. The examination room is the room where the abortions are actually performed. Now, this was a very unusual request because only doctors and nurses are allowed in that room. Never counselors or administrators. Well, the explanation for the request was a simple one. It turned out that they had a visiting doctor performing the abortions that day, and he was accustomed to doing ultrasound-guided abortions, which is a procedure they normally didn't follow at that particular Planned Parenthood facility. And so he simply needed an extra pair of hands to hold the ultrasound probe, to guide him in the abortion. And Abby cheerfully went, was very happy to pitch in and help. Little did she imagine how those next few minutes would shake the very foundations of her values and change the course of her life. Because what she saw was an ultrasound image of a perfectly healthy, normal baby. A baby. Not a fetus. Not a lump of biological matter. A baby. She looked down at the child's mother lying on the table, who, although she was sedated, she was crying over what was going to happen. And if you want the details of what happened in the next minute or so, go and see the movie. What's important here is what happened to Abby as she left that room, immediately resigned her position from Planned Parenthood, and left that facility, the words, never again. Never again. You see, her eyes were open. Like so many people, she believed a lie. She closed her mind to the reality that was present right before her eyes. And in the end, all she could say was, "Oh my God, what have I done? I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry." Her eyes were open to what she was doing over those 8 years at Planned Parenthood. But once her eyes was open, she was able to open up herself to God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And she so perfectly captures what the man said in today's gospel: "I was blind, but now I see." Believe me, trust Trust me. If you haven't seen this movie, you need to go and see this movie. It's playing in Gainesville. You know, a chance encounter with an outcast woman at a well gathering water. A beggar that was born blind from birth. A poor man named Lazarus who dies. All of these people, all of these events are so insignificant from a worldly perspective. Yet through them, God enters the world and transforms it from top to bottom with consequences that reach to eternity. You see why we have these readings? Sometimes the most unlikely people are the most convincing witnesses of the gospel. People in RCIA need to hear that. We all